favorites. It's the podcast. I'm Chad Millman from the Action Network, and it is Wednesday morning, which means I am joined by Bookmaker to the United States of America, Bookmaker Emeritus, the Bookmaker Laureate. I feel like that should be a post nominated by the federal government. From New Orleans, representing Boyd Gaming, Mr. Bob Robert Scucci. Is that Bob Scucci singing? Is that Mr. Bob Scucci? Is that an original Scoodles?
that's an original song.
You wrote an original song, and you wrote it about your wife.
I did.
You sound good in that song. You sound really good. I love it.
Thank you. I wrote it, produced it. Played the instruments, everything.
How many instruments were there?
Well, we just double tracked. You know, I did the guitar, then I did rhythm, then lead, and then we did a little keyboards on it, some, you know, strings effect.
Scooch, the action you got that night must have been ridiculous.
Yep.
Oh my god, that's too good. When did you write that song for your wife?
About maybe three years ago.
So you were not married yet. You guys got married what, 2.5 years ago?
No. Two, yeah.
And so tell me the process here.
You know, I got to tell you, she's not going to be happy about playing that song. She never wanted, that was like supposed to be her song. It was just for very personal. And when we made it and I let her listen to it, she was just, you know, overwhelmed. But she always wanted it to be a very personal, private song. And then, of course, one of the other Scoodles members decided to post it, which she wasn't too pleased about, so... Well, fortunately, she doesn't listen to the podcast, so maybe she won't know.
I was going to say, you better make sure she's not listening to the podcast, brother, because there's going to be a lot more people listening to that song now.
She will be upset, I can tell you.
You won't be getting any that night. That is
There won't be any. Sure. No, no more.
No Scooch action for sure. Oh, my God, that is so funny. She must have heard that song and just been beside herself. Because I know you. I know for a fact you've never written a song for anybody before in your life.
Nope. And yeah, she was in tears. It was pretty emotional.
How did you present
it to her? She actually wanted me to sing it.
Sorry,
well,
I cut you off.
I had to kind of make sure
that answer first, and then answer my question. She wanted you to sing it where?
She wanted me to sing it at our wedding, but there would have been no way. I wasn't that... wasn't that polished an entertainer to get up in front of all those guys at the wedding?
Oh, my God. And so she must have just been, like, how did you lay out that you were going to play the song for her? What was the scenario?
Well, she knew I was meeting with the guys, you know, once a week and just kind of messing with stuff. And I hadn't really written anything before, but so I wanted to try and write something that was both good and very personal. It turned out to be a little bit better than I thought. I was just going to present it to her, but what we did was when we recorded it on all the tracks, we just put it on a little drive, and I told her I wanted to show her something that night when I got home and just put it in the laptop and let her listen to it, and she was just kind of overwhelmed by it. And then a couple times after that, I played it live.
And then a couple times after for that... Her. Couple times after that, you got a couple times, you know what I'm saying? Listen, you want to win a lady over, you got to write her a song.
Hey, if you write, that's 100% right. You write a good song, even if you write a bad song, and they'll be overwhelmed.
So true. Mm-hmm. In my house, I just say to my wife, what do you think? And she just, she gives me the go sign or the no sign. And that's
the thumbs up or the,
that's the extent of the romance right now.
Gotcha. Yeah.
This is how my kids are learning about sex. The other day, my 12-year-old, was on like, you know, what do you call it? Like a house party. House party is like an app where they all talk on to each other at the same time. And they were all daring each other to do stuff like inappropriate in front of their parents. So my 12-year-old came down and was yelling, "Dad, Dad, I have an erection."
Jesus.
And but he had all his kids, all his buddies on the phone. It was all his buddies on the phone. I'm like, so what are you going to fucking do with it?
Man, kids are just out in the open now with stuff. I can't even imagine saying stuff like that.
One of his buddies, the dare was to go into the kitchen where his mom and older brother were and start making sex noises.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Did he do it?
Oh, yeah.
Did he get grounded after that?
No. The mom looked at him like, what? What are you doing? And the brother just started laughing hysterically.
Hey, got to interrupt you real quick because I'm going to go to 7.5 on the Browns here as we speak.
Woo! They're
coming in. Okay, go ahead.
We had to wake Shelby up to make the line change here.
I had to actually work there for a minute.
There we go.
Nice. Nice job.
Well, let's get into it. Let's use that as a transition.
Okay. All right.
Woo! That was a crazy weekend last weekend. One of us went 5-1. Who could it have been? Was it me? I believe it was. The only game I lost last weekend was the first game I was convinced I might win, and that was the Dolphins plus 7.5. I won every other game I bet. I can tell you right now, I had, hold on, last week I had Carolina plus 6, won that. I had Bears minus 5, won that, on appreciation for Joe Philbin and the Bears defense for the sack and then the field goal with 15 seconds left. I won Tampa Bay plus 8.5. Here's the interesting thing for the middle monster. I forgot I had picked the Ravens minus 7.5 in Pigskin Pick'em against my best friend Matt. And then on Sunday morning, I bet the Bucks plus 8.5. The only way I win both bets is if that game lands 8. It landed 8. And appreciation to
incredible.
Appreciation to John Harbaugh, who, when they were on the 7-yard line with 2 minutes left, just took a knee for the final 2 minutes. I had the under 43 on the right. Giants and Titans. Thank you, PJ Walsh from the Action Network. Download our free app because he convinced me that morning that was the play. And then I had Indy minus 3 in a shutout of the Cowboys. So there you go.
Almost a clean
sweep. Boom!
And I think we both had our Scooch Roulette picks as well.
We did. We both hit our Scooch Roulette picks. I had the 49ers, yeah. And you had the Colts.
Yeah, right. Yep. And we had both liked the Pittsburgh and the 49ers. And the 49ers.
Yeah.
I know initially you went with the Bills, though, and you changed your mind on that, and it was a good thing because I think that was the only game of the board where the point spread did not make a difference.
Yeah.
So every game on the board, if the underdog covered, they won the game outright. If the favorite won, the favorite covered. Every game except that one.
Yeah, totally. Totes my goats. Let's see. On the year, I think I'm doing pretty well on the year. I think I'm like, I got to check. I got to do the math on this. Let's get to the games. Hold on. I'll try to do the math on this at the end of it. But I think I'm having a pretty good year when all said and done. Let's talk about the Saturday games. Great one coming up. Los Angeles Chargers minus 4.5 against said Baltimore Ravens. In appreciation, I like the Chargers minus 4.5. The money is on the Chargers. The public is on the Chargers. I think they are so much better than the Ravens. This line is whack, yo.
Yeah, we're going to be on the high side on this one. The only question is, you know, the Chargers are without Melvin Gordon, and Keenan Allen. So it may affect it. You know, they've been trying to get through without him the last couple games. So, but I mean, that finish last week just showed the grit of this team. And you know, at home now against the Ravens, they need the game. I mean, they're still just in a dogfight with KC. So this one's going to come right down to the. I mean, they're really going to be at the Ravens in this one, and the public is on them. The wise guys are on them. I see the line going up a little bit. I don't see much support for the Ravens in this one.
I'm surprised you haven't moved the line yet.
Yeah. You know what?
Don't do it. No. Don't do it while we're on the phone.
Okay.
Oh, it doesn't matter because the podcast isn't coming out till tomorrow. I want to make sure I get this before it goes.
It's not
going to
be till. Yeah. All right.
You doing it?
I want to test the waters anyway. I want to see. I want to see what they do with the five. Probably nothing, but
let's see. Move it to five.
All right.
Tennessee Titans minus 10 over the Washington. Can I call them the Washington Deadskins yet?
Well, they came alive Sunday.
They did.
Or at least one game.
Big difference between
and
the Titans
and
the
Jags. And had it not been for that game, oh, totally.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing that is dissuading the public from just burying us on Titans money is the fact that the Redskins did come alive for that one game. So 10 is just such a big number for teams that you know, typically don't put up a ton of points. So we'll still end up needing the Redskins for a little bit. With the two games on Saturday, it'll just be favorite to favorite and parlays and teasers and everything. So we'll still end up needing the Redskins, but it's hard to go much higher than 10 in this one.
A lot of money on the Skins right now.
We got a little sharp money, but not a lot. And with us, the ticket count isn't really overwhelming on the Titans. Like I said, had the Redskins gotten blown out again, I think, you know, this line would have been a little bit higher, and we would have seen a lot more money on the Titans. But it just takes 1 week of somebody seeing a game that just kind of puts a little doubt in their mind, and that's the case here.
Scooch, we're going to take a break to talk about Robinhood. That's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. Scooch, I know you love your portfolio at Robinhood. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. I've been using it. It's good. It's got a simple and intuitive, clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. Listen, you get no commission fees when you use Robinhood. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, it's something that I like to do more than anything else, which is learn to invest as you build your portfolio. I discover new stocks. I track my favorite companies with a personalized news feed. I get alerts for price movements, so I never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. I got a free stock. It was very exciting to get. It was like a Christmas stocking. Sign up at favorites.robinhood.com. That's favorites.robinhood.com. Let's get back to the show. Let's talk about the NFC North champion Chicago Bears. 3.5-point favorites on the road against the San Francisco 49ers. You know what's interesting? Last week, I was sure of the Niners. So sure. And I don't know if it was the spot or the fact they were playing a division rival or that, you know, they had some evidence that they could perform well against the Seahawks. I don't like them as much against the Bears in the same exact spot with that number.
I agree with you. And we actually opened 4.5. And we went down to 3.5 off of some sharp plays early, but then it just went completely back up the other way. We're back up to 4. I went to 4 just before doing the show here, went back up to 4. And I could see this line going up. ticket count wise, you know, take the sharp guys out of the mix for a second, and this is the most lopsided game on the board in terms of percentages of bets. It's just overwhelming, like 15-1 Bears to 49ers. So I think everybody feels 49ers had their big upset last week with Seattle to pull out two giant upsets back to back, but against this team, which is arguably one of the most improved teams, it's going to be a tall task. It's going to be all. This will be our biggest game of the board.
This is what worries me. The only thing that worries me about the Bears, only thing.
What's that?
They just won the division, so there's not a lot of incentive. Maybe some incentive for placement in the conference, but I think it's going to be a hard task for them to get the 2 seed. And they lost Eddie Jackson, and I think that's a big, big problem for the Bears going forward.
Yeah, legitimate concerns, and I don't like needing the Niners in this spot, but like I said, I'm going to be quick to move it back up. I thought I opened it on the high side, and I'm going to be quick to move it even higher. I know there's some 3.5 still out there, so at -4, we're one of the highest, but I'm going to be quick to move it back up.
Streaking Cleveland, the Browns, 7.5-point favorites against the Bengals.
Yeah, I thought for sure when we put up 7 that that'd be about as high as we could go on this one. And like I said at the top of this show, I just went to 7.5. We were just getting some pretty big money from the sharp guys on Cleveland. Once again, we talked about it the last couple of weeks. They've just been the wise guys have loved them. They loved him even during the 0-16 year, so no reason to get off him now. At some point, they're just going to be laying too much, though, and the value's got to be out of them by now. But 7.5, that's quite a bit for the Browns.
Massive. I love this team, though. I can see why. They're on them for entirely different reasons these days.
You want to expand on that?
Well, I guess I will, Scooch. I mean, you said the wise guys have always loved the Browns. It used to be they loved the Browns because they were so, in theory, undervalued compared to who they were playing, because you knew the public was going to be all over whoever the Browns played. Now they're the wise guys are on them because the Browns are actually pretty good, and there's probably still a little bit of some correction to be had by the bookmakers because of their record and sort of because of where you had the Browns rated when the season began. It's hard to sort of adjust them as quickly as you would like, as you've taught me. So I think that's why you're still getting wise guy Brown's money.
Well said. Well done. I like it.
Unlike you, I listen on the podcast. And Jen.
Yeah. Yeah.
New England Patriots are basically two touchdown favorites over the Buffalo Bills. 13 points. Mm. I don't know, brother.
Yeah, at first glance, it looks like a lot of points. I mean, the Patriots aren't the same dominant Patriots team we've seen in years past, but Buffalo has just been so erratic, as we've seen, winning straight up as double-digit underdogs before the season and being competitive in some games, getting blown out in others. We opened what we thought was high, 13, and the first couple of bets out of the gate were plus the 13, and we're down to 12.5 now. It was all sharp money on the Bills. The ticket count's about 3-1, at least at our places. Three on the Patriots for every one on the Bills. So the public's still going to be laying this number, but the big money's on the Bills, and I would suspect that it stays that way, especially in the last couple of weeks. I don't think I've ever seen so many double-digit underdogs winning the game straight up in one season, much less in the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I think the public is very aware of that as well, so it's going to give them a little pause before laying 12.5 or 13 on almost any game.
Yeah, for sure. I'll probably be in the Bills if I play it. Maybe I'll avoid it. Tell you what else I'm avoiding. The Indianapolis Colts is 9.5-point favorites against the Giants.
Yeah. This was one of the games where we had probably the biggest adjustment off of just 1 week. You know, normally we don't make big adjustments without an injury. But just the the dominance of the Colts in the last game, we know it's going to weigh on the public's mind a little bit. So, you know, once you get past, I mean, the true line on this one should really be in the 7.5-8 range, so about a point and a half higher than probably what it should be. And we're already seeing indications that it's a little on the high side. Got some wise guy plays on the Giants. Not really enough to move it yet, but I see this line coming down to 9, 8.5. As bad as the Giants are, it's still a lot of points for the Giants to be getting.
But is there anything?
But then again, we know. What's that?
Go ahead and you go.
I was just going to say the public we know is going to be on the Colts, though, especially after that performance last week, and we can see it already in some of the parlays and the ticket count.
Is there anything statistically that makes you look at this game and say it's overvalued, or is it purely a public perception number?
Just a public perception in terms of the betting patterns of the two teams the last couple of weeks. They've been betting against the Giants every week. They've been betting on the Colts every week. So if the raw number is 8, you know, there's going to be a slight inflation knowing that they're going to be betting against the Giants and on the Colts. So it's that's really the only adjustment there, or the only reason for the adjustment.
Next game is interesting. There's been some speculation. This line has moved wildly. It opened Green Bay -3.5. Now it's Jets -2.5. Speculation Aaron Rodgers won't play. Why did this number move?
Well, that was it. We actually have it off the board right now until we get a little bit more accurate information. So the big move was obviously on the news that he might miss with the groin injury. And so just playing it on the safe side for now. We got plenty of time to kind of make adjustments and put it back up. But we already got hit on the Jets, a couple bets that caused the move. And we tried to move it aggressively, but we're just going to keep it off for now.
Groin injury. Groin injury.
That's a tough one.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
They hurt.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. No, is that a movie?
Oh, my God. It's from a sitcom from about 40 years ago called Cheers. And Ted Danson, who played a bartender and an old pitcher for the Red Sox, he ran the bar, and he was famous in Boston. And he took a job as a sportscaster, and one night on the air, he did a rap and was talking about a player being out because of a groin injury. And he's like, he's out because of a groin injury. Groin injury.
I watched that show religiously, and I just, for some reason, I don't remember that episode. But sounds like I could picture it.
I think you'd like it. How did the Minnesota Vikings become a 5.5-point favorite in any game at this point in the year? Well, I guess they just did have a nice win against the Dolphins, so.
Yeah, it's funny how just one game can do that. And that's what I'm saying, that recency bias, especially if it's a dominant win. And you try to not to take too much into account, but, you know, the fact that the Lions really didn't look good as well is, you know, makes it an adjustment on both sides. So, We know the public is going to be laying this 5.5. They already are, so seems like the right number. We've got a few bets from some guys that we respect on the Lions, so this will be one of those games where the sharp guys will take the home dog and the public will lay the favorite.
Lay the favorite. That was a good book. There was a book called Lay the Favorite. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I curse both of those teams, the Lions and the Vikings. 2 weeks left. I just can't see myself wanting to get involved with either of those teams the rest of the season. Houston, Philadelphia, however.
Yeah. Great matchup.
This line's moved up. Open to pick. Eagles -1.5.
Yeah. We have more money on this game than any game on the board so far this week. Like you said, we open pick, went up to 1.5. And I could understand the move in terms of how good Philly's looked. Even with Nick Foles at quarterback, I mean, they actually look better. So why not? We saw the same thing happen at the end of last year and led them to a Super Bowl. So I understand the move. The public's pretty well divided on this one. I mean, we have the exact same amount of bets on both sides. It's just that the sharp guys obviously like Philly in this one and drove the line up.
Wow. I want to play Houston in this game.
Do you? Well, I think you'll probably see a 2.5. I don't know that it'll quite get to 3, but it looks like it's going in one direction.
The story of my life.
Was that a song by One Direction?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dallas Cowboys, 7-point favorites over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, nobody likes the Bucs anymore, and I can understand why. Boy, that was the game that you got the middle last week, huh?
Middle
Chad
monster.
Middleman?
The middle monster.
No support for the Buccaneers whatsoever. So, -7, we think, is probably a solid number. It'll take some pretty big bets to get us off of this number. We don't want to get middled again, and the Buccaneers seem like they're the team that causes the most problems with the middles.
It's true. You know why? They're why swashbucklers. They're looking to steal your money.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I did that right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty clever. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to officially announce what I've been teasing on the podcast for the last week or so. We are doing a live episode of The Favorites Monday, January 28th. Did I mention it's live? It's going to be in New York City at Foley's Bar in Manhattan. As a loyal listener of the podcast, you, my friends, are invited. Some of you have tweeted at me already, and you can continue to do that. But all you have to do to get invited, go to actionnetwork.com/favorites. That is actionnetwork.com/favorites. I'm going to be there. Blackjack is going to be there. Paul LeDuc is going to be there. Jeff Schwartz is going to be there. Scooch is writing a song from the Scoodles for the podcast. Blackjack and Paul LeDuc are going to be tending bar, pouring drinks. That's going to be dangerous. Some other special guests are going to join. You can maybe guess who it's going to be. It's one of the podcast favorites. We're going to preview the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about all the props. That's the main thing. Any kind of betting that goes with it. If you are going to be in New York City on, again, Monday, January 28th at 6 p.m., go to actionnetwork.com/favorites and RSVP, and you will get more details to access the event. actionnetwork.com/favorites. Of course, you can also keep adding me at Chad Millman on Twitter, and I'll just individually add you to the list. Scooch, let's get back to business. I'm curious about this Atlanta-Carolina game because it opened at 3.5. It's been bet down to 2.5. Why is all the wise guy money coming in on Carolina? It makes no sense. I mean, coming in on Atlanta makes no sense to me.
Well, I mean, they did upgrade Julio Jones to be probable. And I think initially, I mean, I don't know that he'd actually cause it. It's part of the move, but I think possibly they didn't like what they saw in Carolina Monday night against the Saints. I know you're just not high on this Falcons team, but I think I give them a lot more credit than you do.
Why? Give me a reason why.
Well, especially if Julio Jones is healthy and playing. He's just a monster.
Well, I'm not going to bet him less than a field goal.
I wouldn't play him at 2.5. But like I said, this season, the point spread almost doesn't matter. I don't think there's ever been a season like this where the percentages of games that the point spreads don't matter are as, you know, high as this year.
That is an interesting conversation. That is an interesting one to have. I am going to look into details on that.
You should, because I've never seen it. I mean, even with such big favorites, a team that's laying 16, they either win by 16 or the dog wins straight up. You would think that those are the games that you would have the most occurrences of a team winning and not covering, and yet it's almost the opposite.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Yeah. All right, Miami is a 4-point favorite over the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the money is coming in on the Jaguars.
A little bit, not so much with us. Very little action on this game. I think this is the least bet game on the board, at least for us. Oh no, I see one at the very bottom there.
Looks like we got a corner TV game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to get excited about either one of these teams. But Dolphins, we have at 4.5. And like you said, there's more money on the Dolphins, but it's not, compared to some of the other games, it's not a lot.
That game's crap.
Yeah.
This other game, though, there's the last, I'd say, three of the last four games are really interesting to me. It's where I might want to spend some of my money this weekend. Arizona Cardinals are 14-point dogs at home against the reeling Rams. And right now, the majority of the money, very small volume, is coming in on Arizona. I'm not saying the majority of the bets, the majority of the money. So we've got some wise guy action on the Cardinals, not surprising. Double two-touchdown home dog. Makes sense. It's what the book tells you to play. Rams are reeling, though.
You go all the way back to October when the Rams played Green Bay and they beat Green Bay by two. I think that was the beginning of the fall from the dominance of I don't think they've covered they might have covered one game since then. And if you look at the last three, losing straight up to Philly as a double-digit favorite, losing to Chicago as a 4.5-point favorite. I think they might have gotten a cover against the Lions as like a 10-point favorite. And even in that game, it looked like the Lions were going to cover. But, I mean, you're talking about almost 2 months of not covering. So had they playing any other team and you'd say, yeah, it's an automatic take, you know, double digits at home. It's just that the Cardinals are just so bad. Yeah, the Rams are reeling, but the Cardinals are just really bad.
Cardinals can't score.
But having said, no, they just can't. We've got them ranked the worst team in the NFL right now, and they're playing up to it. But having said that, I still think you have to just play the percentages and take the points. You know, I think with a lot of the teams that were so dominant at the beginning of the year, you take the Rams, the Chiefs, the Saints, all those teams that just looked like they could score at will, and they were just so dominant on offense. Something happened around midway or week 9, week 10, where defenses pick up on certain things and figure out a game plan that can stop the offense. And then if it works in one game, then the other coaches kind of pick up on that and they realize what works. So they might take, you know, for the Rams, they might look at how the Saints beat them, and then they'll see, well, okay, what did the Saints do defensively to stop them? You know, did they take away the passing lanes by Goff by, you know, not focusing on the run? And whatever they do, you look at each one of those three teams, the Rams, the Chiefs, and the Saints, and offensively in the last 5 weeks, they were nowhere near what they were at the beginning of the season.
Listen, the defenses in the NFL, they make adjustments. But I also think what that does for bettors, huge opportunities. You've seen it with the Saints.
And this is one, yeah.
You've seen it with the Saints the past few weeks, too, right? Like, I have made bank betting against the Saints, bank betting against the Rams. Like, it's been glorious to try to see the market, try to keep up with what was happening with the Rams and the Saints, knowing that they've been found out.
Yes. The Saints, I think, the last three games, I think they scored a total of 9 points in the first halves. They're struggling just out of the gate. They're making adjustments in the second half, and they're getting the wins. But, I mean, going back to the Dallas game where they scored 0 points in the first half, Tampa Bay, they only scored 3 points in the first half. And Monday night against Carolina, they only scored 6 points. So obviously, defenses have figured something out, and then the Saints are making adjustments to come back in the second half.
That said, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Saints, 6-point underdogs.
Yeah,
money coming in on the Steelers.
Sure,
I am going to bet the Saints as soon as this number continues to go down.
And I'm with you on that one. We've already moved it down. We're down to 5.5 on the game. we saw some money coming in after Monday night when I guess just not a whole lot of confidence in that Saints team. They got the win against Carolina, but you know the public remembers what they saw last, and didn't give them a whole lot of confidence to lay 6 points on New Orleans. So they're taking Pittsburgh. So the public's going to take Pittsburgh in this one. But I agree with you. It gets down a little too low, and I think the Saints at home is going to be a little bit different story.
How low do you think this game is going to go?
I think, I mean, barring an injury, probably down to 5. And, you know, I have to – something from last week, I remember saying that the Rams will never go above 10 against the Eagles last week, and then the game went up to 14, but that was because Carson Wentz was out. And so barring an injury, I think it'll go down to about 5.
All right, so I'll be taking the Saints eventually. In this next
maybe four
game,
and a half. You might lay 4.5.
I might get 4.5. I'll take that. Okay. This next game, Kansas City at Seattle. Kansas City is a 2.5-point favorite. Here's what's interesting to me right now. Seattle plus 115. Boom. Look it. Book it. Done.
Yeah.
You like that too, right?
I love it. Yeah. I mean, Seattle, really a team that's kind of flown under the radar with regards to handicapping. I mean, some of the games that they lost, they played the Rams twice, and they lost by a total of about 7 points, 33-31 in one of them. They covered, I want to say, 7 out of the last 10 or 11 games. They covered these games where on the other side of the ball there, Kansas City, their last 5 games, they haven't covered once. So you've got two teams, like, again, and this goes back to how dominant Kansas City was at the beginning of the year and the week-by-week adjustment with these lines going up and up and up, and then the correction comes in, and you look at their last 5 games, and they haven't covered once. So this is a perfect spot for Seattle.
But I don't even see it as a spot where I expect Seattle to cover. Like, I expect them to win.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, 2.5. I mean, it's the point spread really isn't in play here, you know, like we've been talking about.
Right.
But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, go for the win.
I think I'm going to go for the win.
The money line.
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
It feels like that's the right side to me. I think it's a letdown spot, and I think the Chargers are going to win the AFC West.
Ooh, wow. Yep. Well, it all comes down to this Ravens game. Chargers, Ravens.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. Yeah. You're totally right. I got lost here for a second because if I were allegedly to bet right now, I would look for the Saints and the Steelers, but for some reason I can't find that game, which is weird.
They might have it off the board. I mean, depending on where you're...
Why is it not on the board?
Yeah. Because of James Conner is still a question mark, so a lot of places are staying on the safe side until they get more information on him. He's still listed as questionable.
All right. Well, one of us allegedly just made a bet on the Seattle Seahawks to win.
On the money line.
Yeah.
Your attention, please. Chad is making a bet. Allegedly.
I did it. I did it. It's like, you know, it's like if you got a kid and he goes poop in his pants, he'll look up and be like, I did it. I might have just pooped in my pants.
That's what this show's regressed to. Talk about sex and pooping in pants.
Well, by the way, some of the most popular podcasts in the world are about sex and poop. We might be more popular if we talked about sex and poop instead of betting.
Oh, man.
If all we did was write ballads for Jen, talk about the post-ballad sex, and then making nice poops, this would be like
the top-rated podcast of all time.
This would be the podcast for everybody.
Yep.
We wouldn't be some nice niche little podcast. We'd be mass market.
Yep.
Instead, we got to talk about like the Broncos and the Raiders, which no one gives a fuck about.
No, this was the other game I was talking about when I was saying that the Jaguars-Dolphins was the least bet game. No, this one is by far.
This is like a shit sandwich on Monday night.
Christmas Eve. How many people on Christmas Eve are going to be glued to the TV watching this one?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Scooch, we have a lot to talk about right now. First off, We got to do some Scrooge Roulette.
All righty.
I'm going first.
Go ahead.
I'll take the Seahawks.
Ooh, man. Yeah. All right. Well, that was one of them I liked.
Okay.
I can't go with the Bears because the line's already – I've already adjusted it back up. But I do think those sharp guys are right on the Eagles. And I know you like the Texans, but I think the Eagles with that only laying 1.5, the way they're playing, that's the one I'd go with.
I can accept that. I appreciate you for saying that. I like the Saints. I'm going to take them on the spread, not the money line, just because why not get the points for some Scrooge Roulette? I'll bet them on the money line for real money, but in Scrooge Roulette, I want the cushion. Listen, we also got to tell people that next week we're going to be off. So do not look for a podcast because otherwise, like, we'd be recording on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and that's no good for you. And nobody's going to listen to a podcast, and I don't want to get in the way of, you know, you and Jen celebrating your love for each other during the holiday season.
Sounds good. Besides, it's so that last week is so crazy anyway, half the games will be off the board.
Half the games will be off the board. You can't even judge it. Bob Scucci, we've made it through another fantastic year of podcasting. We have launched a new podcast that was wildly popular with our new partners at Cadence 13. If nothing else in my life, I can count on you.
Well, that's very nice. I don't know how to react. I was waiting for something sarcastic, and it didn't come.
Well, the good news is I can count on a lot of things in my life, but you are one of those things.
Well, thanks, Chad.
Maybe over the break you can write a song about me.
Well, you know what? We already are.
Yeah. That's right. We're working on it for... For the live podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's going to be so good. can I give details about the live podcast right now? Can I officially give those? Should we do that as a mid-roll?
Yeah,
all right. All right. Scooch, I want you to have a great Christmas and a great New Year's. This has been The Favorites from the Action Network. We will be back beginning the week of January 2nd. You can download The Favorites on Apple Podcasts from radio.com/TheActionNetwork. Anywhere you get your podcast. We will be back on Friday with Blackjack Fletcher to make 5 picks to win $1.4 million. Not just until next time. Until next year with Scooch.